Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
10 seconds left to play in overtime. Timberwolves 127, Nets 126. Kyrie sitting on 50 points in his Nets debut against the Kogi. Spins, lost control of the ball. Got it back, fades, fires, 17-footer. No good at the buzzer. The Wolves hang on and they win their season opener on the road here in Brooklyn. 127-126, the final.
That's the way to start the season. We love hearing Alan Horton's voice and love when he's that excited. It was an incredible game into overtime. Just really exciting. You heard it all there. Karl-Anthony Towns scored 36. Andrew Wiggins scored 21. Wolves back in action tomorrow when they play the Hornets. Pregame at 5:30 here on CCO.
It was such a relief to have the Wolves back on the air last night. I was at an event and I got back in the car and I knew the game should be over, but it wasn't. So immediately I knew something exciting was happening. Overtime and they win it. It's all on here on WCCO.
Always here on WCCO. Very exciting. My kids were excited about the game last night. They tried to talk me out of not going to Hebrew school. I said, no. The game will still be on when you come home. It will, in fact, just be starting when you get home. So you're still going to Hebrew school, which they did, and then listen to the game. So super exciting, and just what a great way to start the season. We've had a lot of momentum here with Minnesota sports. The Twins, the Vikes, the Timberwolves. So we have high hopes and are expecting big things. But, David, you know what we have to do right now? We have to give away some money. Time now for the News Talk 830-8K Workday Giveaway, brought to you by Eyewitness News at Noon on 45 TV. The code word is arrow, A-R-R-O-W. I'll try to be straight as an arrow with Paul not here to keep me in line, but I can't make any promises. Arrow, A-R-R-O-W. Text that word to this number, 72881. For your chance to win $1,000. Hey, it's a national contest. We hope you win. Then you call me here. You tell me how you're going to spend $1,000. It's all very exciting. Once again, the word is arrow, A-R-R-O-W, to 72881. Your next chance to win is at 410 right here on this very station. Gosh, we got the Timberwolves. We got $8,000 a day. What could be bad? All good. Something that maybe not so good, the Redskins. Yeah, you heard in Laura's news that there are going to be protests. In fact, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Penny Flanagan and some other Native American leaders, like Representatives Mary Kanesh Podin and Jamie Becker Finn, also Native Americans, are going to be joining this rally, this protest that is happening outside U.S. Bank Stadium. And what are they protesting, of course? They're protesting the name, the Washington Redskins, because Redskin is a slur for a Native American. And it's not just painful to Native Americans. It's painful to anybody who doesn't like racist slurs. So there is going to be a protest. They're gathering now. I think they're going to maybe start at 4 with the full rally in front of the stadium at 5 p.m. So what do you think about this? 651-989-9226. We'll have a minute or two to take calls. You know what's interesting about this, David? My high school, Parsippany High School. I grew up in the town of Parsippany, New Jersey. Parsippany High School was the Redskins. We were the Parsippany Redskins.
Wow.
Since we were a Parsippany High School.
And when you were in high school, did that strike you or any of your classmates as racist or offensive in any way?
It did not at the time.
Wow.
No. I think we were just less self-aware.
Sure.
And less aware in general that that was a negative thing. You know, social norms change. My grandmother used to call African Americans, I can say this on the air, colored, that she used to call them, and that was negative, and she doesn't use, I said, Graham, you can't say that anymore. She didn't say words that started with N, but she did say the word colored, thinking that that was a more evolved word than maybe another word we used to use for, other people used to use for African Americans. Well, when we were growing up, you know, Redskins, it was just, that was it was a team name, like I'm sure the Washington Redskins owner is still thinking that it is. But I graduated high school in 1990. In the year 2000, which I think was pretty late, the Parsippany High School changed their name to the Parsippany Red Hawks. The Red Hawks. Isn't that what they are? The Red Hawks. We Googled this.
Yep,
the Red Hawks.
Yep.
Great. I don't remember there being a big brouhaha. I had moved out of state by then. I don't remember it being a big thing. But clearly, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I was talking to Laura about this. She said her high school was the Redskins. Oh, no, excuse me. Her high school was the Indians.
Okay.
Growing up. And she said in about 1990, they changed from the Indians to a different name.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you're in school later than me. You're at least 10 years younger than me. Would you have thought Redskins was offensive in high school?
Well, no, I don't think so. And look, I was, you know, a fan of the National Football League in high school, and this wasn't a thing we thought about. Now, the Redskins were here for a Super Bowl a few decades ago, and there was protest then. But at the time, I didn't really think about it in the way that I do now. And now it seems very clear. And look, the owner of the Redskins gets to make that decision, and there's a lot else that goes into it, and a long discussion we could have. But I think you hit it on the head when you say, look, the culture changes and the meaning of words change, and we need to adjust with that. And here, as we sit in 2019, that nickname for the football team that plays in Washington is not appropriate.
And it's not acceptable. And they should absolutely 1,000% change it.
Yes.
And the fact that the owner is just being just old guy, old crotchety guy who decides, get off my lawn. That's the name and I'm sticking to it. You're just not with the times. And eventually enough people will rebel and not want to go to your games.
And look, our football team is called the Vikings, which, you know, maybe you could argue, I don't know, that's fighting people of a certain descent, right? The Scandinavians. And maybe in 20 years, that will be the thing that's not appropriate. And we'll have to change our name then. Today, it's not.
Correct.
And but maybe it will be. And at that point, we should change our name.
As Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better.
That's right.
And it's okay to be who we are now, and you don't have to do the whole slippery slope thing because times do change. And as long as you change with the times and are respectful to each other, we're all going to be okay. It's just a name. We're going to be. And if it's offensive to somebody, then you should change it.
Yes.
That's it. We're going to be okay. Speaking of offensive to somebody, I try not to get offended. I work in radio, and if I got offended, I could not have a job. But I am often offended when the truth is thrown out the window and lies are spewed and believed or perpetrated or propagandized. And as a reporter, most of my career, journalist, most of my career, I'm a talk show host now. Sometimes I do a little journalism on the side for other projects, but I'm a talk show host now. I get how words can be spun and become problematic. And we're living in a time where many people play fast and loose with the truth. And yesterday was a troubling day as we talked about Republican lawmakers who stormed the Bastille that was the Democratic hearings on the impeachment inquiry and went on the air. Representative Gaetz and Representative Scalise said things like Adam Schiff is trying to impeach the president. He's trying to turn over the results of the election. This is all in secret, and this is not the way it should be done, and they're not letting us in. And we all now know that all of those things were lies. Republicans are members of the committee. The rules are that if you're not on the committee, you don't go in. In fact, they were breaking the rules when they went in with their phones. And it was very troubling because they got up there and they lied to us. And depending on which channel you watch, you believed them or you didn't believe them. Well, I was watching Fox News this morning. Judge Anthony Napolitano is a former political involved with political parties, but he's also a commentator on Fox News. And here is what he told the Fox and Friends, dropped a little truth bomb on all of us that only he can say, and I can't do it justice. So here now is Judge Anthony Napolitano's reaction and some truth about what happened yesterday on Capitol Hill.
What I did for you, Kilmeade, I read the House rules.
Okay.
And as frustrating as it may be to have these hearings going on behind closed doors, the hearings over which Congressman Schiff is presiding, they are consistent with the rules.
They can make any of the rules they want.
Well, they can't change the rules. They follow the rules. And when were the rules written? Last? In January of 2015. And who signed them? John Boehner. And who enacted them? A Republican majority. So
what do the rules say?
The rules say that this level of inquiry, this initial level of inquiry, can be done in secret. So what happened in the Nixon impeachment? My former boss, I was his page in the House of Representatives, Peter Rodino, instead of holding the hearings in secret, interviewed the witnesses in secret, not by the committee, but by the staff. Congressman Henry Hyde, same thing in the Clinton impeachment. Witnesses were interviewed in secret and then presented in public. Congressman Schiff, with a different set of rules, chooses to do the initial set of interviews in secret. Secret evidence doesn't work in this world. So eventually there will be a public presentation of this at which lawyers for the president can cross-examine these people and challenge them. This is like presenting a case to a grand jury, which is never done in public. So I get it. The Republicans are frustrated, and they wanted to make a point, and they made their point.
They might have made it.
But this is just the not the most effective way to show respect for what your colleagues are doing.
Republicans made the rules of the inquiry, and they went on TV yesterday and said they're not fair and they're not going to follow them. They made those rules. Just a little truth. There is a saying that your culture is created by what you are willing to tolerate. What in this country are we willing to tolerate? Do we want to be known as a culture of liars, as people who cheat, as lawlessness people who do not follow the rule of law? Or do we want to make rules and stick to them? It is time to decide how our culture will be defined based on what we tolerate. Thank you for listening.
Paul and Jordana.
Macy, not seem like golf season anymore, but it still is. Jordana here. And by the way, Paul is out sick. We thought he was on the road to recovery yesterday. Alas, he sounds like a frog today.
Yeah, did we decide what he has between syphilis and
crabs and gonorrhea, hepatitis? And I mean, he has a lot of things.
Chicken pox, smallpox, all the pox.
Pretty sure it's just the cold, but you know, it's just fun to speculate about all that other stuff. But okay, back to golf. So I just want to let you know, Paul, hopefully we'll be back tomorrow if we can get some penicillin into him. He will definitely be golfing with us on November 1st because David said to us, do you guys want to golf at Target Field? And I was like, yes, we want to do that. I don't know how to do that, but however we can do that, we want to do that. And gentlemen are now on the line telling us how you can do that, too, because it seems super fun. Brian Graham is with Upper Deck Golf, and that is happening at Target Field very soon. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, boy, this sounds really fun. What's Upper Deck Golf?
Upper Deck Golf is essentially what it sounds like. We set up a 9-hole golf course inside NFL or Major League Baseball stadiums and allow people to walk through the stadium and play golf inside Target Field. So we're doing that on Friday and Saturday, November 1st and 2nd.
So we go to the upper deck and we get to like take driving practice from the upper deck onto the people below.
Yeah, something like that. You get to come and we have a clubhouse. That's a sports bar type feel with multiple golfing challenges. And that's where you'll start and end your round. You can get a drink, get food before and after your round. And then just like regular golf, you're going to go out and you're going to play a 9-hole course that's throughout the stadium at all different levels, including all the way up top. And you're shooting down to custom greens that are laid out in the outfield below. And you'll have a scoring system where you can get birdie, par, bogey, just like normal golf.
So I'm really having a hard time picturing it. Is it mini golf? I mean, how do you make a golf hole on the upper deck?
No, these are legit golf shots. Every hole is anywhere from 75 yards to the shortest up to 150 yards. So we're allowing people to bring in sand wedges through 8 irons. We also have clubs available at each hole in case you want to play the clubs that we provide. And you're taking, full swings throughout the stadium. So we set it up as close to a real golf course. So maybe think a par 3 type golf course.
Okay, this sounds very dangerous. Like, I feel like I'm going to take a golf ball to the head. Do I have to wear a helmet while I do this?
No, not at all. We've spent about a year with the Twins planning this event. We've held events with the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field and Seattle Seahawks at CenturyLink earlier this year. So there's a lot of time planning and precautions put in place to make sure that everyone's out there and can enjoy it in a safe way.
Now, you said you'll have clubs at every hole, right? I don't have to bring my own clubs?
Yeah, you don't have to bring anything. We provide the balls for you. We provide the clubs. You're able to bring your own clubs. A lot of golfers like to hit their own clubs, so that's allowed as well. Sand wedge through 8 irons, but they're also provided at every tee box throughout the course as well.
Now, you know this is Minnesota, and theoretically we could have 3 feet of snow on November 1st. So how do you work around that?
Yeah, Yep. So a couple things. So the clubhouse is obviously inside. It's at the Bat and Barrel down the right field line at Target Field. Mm-hmm. And then when you're walking from hole to hole, we're going to have the heaters on throughout the stadium. Each hole where you're hitting from the tee boxes are actually covered. So you're protected from the elements there. And then luckily Target Field has a heated outfield as well. We're pretty protected against the weather. And we know people out in Minnesota aren't as sensitive to the cold as somewhere other parts of the country. So we think it's going to work out well.
We are a hardy bunch. So, yes. In fact, David Paul and I are coming November 1st. And you said I know you're only here November 1st and November 2nd. You said there are a few tee times available, and I want you to invite everybody else to come. How do they sign up?
Yes. So there still are tee times available. You can do that at our website. It's Upper Deck Golfing. So golfing, plural, upperdeckgolfing.com. Mm-hmm. And you can go on there and it'll just walk you through how to book a tee time, just like booking a normal tee time if you're playing a round of golf. And still plenty of time to book and come enjoy it.
Upper Deck Golfing. And can kids come?
Yeah, it's definitely family friendly. So okay. We have a ton of kids that attend the event. So, yeah, it's a family friendly event.
Well, it sounds super fun. We cannot wait to try it. Now, I'm not a great golfer, so I imagine there will be some funny videos that will be posted at WCCO's Facebook site coming out of it. But, Brian, we can't wait to meet you, and thanks for inviting us out to Upper Deck Golf.
Yeah, we're excited to have you guys out. Thanks for participating.
UpperDeckGolfing.com. Brian Graham, thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon.
I am really excited about this. My husband put away his clubs. He had a bad last round because he's a big golfer. He loves golf. He put away his clubs. He's like, I'm done for the season. That's it. And this weekend was nice. And I said, babe, do you want to go? He's like, nope, I'm done for the season. But I think he might try to squeeze in on our round.
I think he should. I think that'd be fun.
Too. Yeah, it'd be really. I'm really excited about this. Again, I'm a pretty crappy golfer, but this would just be so fun. And you get this tour of Target Field. I mean, it's just fantastic access.
And you don't have to chase your ball into the woods, as you and I would both do if we went real big boy golfing.
Be wandering around. Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to go look for the videos by November 1st. I said I have a vacation day that day, but I'm going to be joining you in the morning before I jet off. So I cannot wait for that to happen. UpperDeckGolfing.com. Super fun. When we return, Mike Max is going to be joining me. I just get an hour of his time, but should Google Maps have speed traps listed on them? Do you want that or no? Join the conversation next.
Paul and Jordana.
3:34, Jordana Green. Paul Douglas is out sick today, but I'm so grateful to be joined by Mike Max.
This is fun to do this with you, Jor. It's so different for me because I'm used to, we have this guest line, we have this. Now I just got, and I go, Jor, what do you tell me? You drive the ship and I'm just on board.
Well, some of my favorite moments on the radio are listening to you talk about traffic.
Oh.
Because it drives
you. Let me
just
tell you something, Jor. And I'm serious. It's funny you bring that up. Because I always debate whether I should, when I park at TV, which is only 6 blocks away, whether I should walk. So today I decided to drive here, right? So I could park once because I got a spot across the street that costs $3,000 a year. So I might as well use it, right? So how long can it take? Well, I just walked in the studio, right? I left CCO TV studio at 3:10.
Oh, come now.
Yeah.
It took you a half an hour to drive
coming down
across.
Marquette took forever.
Come now.
I finally got to 8th Street. I cheated. I took a right on 8th Street. Uh-huh. This won't mean anything to people that don't know downtown. And then I took a left in the bus lane.
Yeah. Oh,
come arrest me if you want. Took a left in the bus lane so I could get to my parking ramp because there was no way I could have gone two more blocks to 6th Street and got here on time. That's how bad it was. And you know, it was one of those where the last guy tries to get through the light, and then he's sticking out halfway through the intersection.
Sure. Blocking the box. It's illegal in New York City, but you're blocking the box.
Yes. And I mean, this city can't get anything. I told you, maybe I didn't tell you this. A couple weeks ago, I'm walking from the Twins game over to TV when the Twins were playing the playoffs. And I'm on 7th and Nicollet, and there's a guy urinating on the building, on the new Dayton's Project building. I turned to there's a guy that says, it's got one of those things that says volunteers. You know, they got these ambassadors.
Yes, of course.
And he's got a little walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. I said, is he doing what I think he's doing? He said, yeah. And I said, well, can we get a copy here? Can we do something?
Right.
And he gets on his walkie-talkie and he says, I'll try again. You know, he says, I'm trying to get one over here. He said, the guy was no threat because he could barely walk, you know.
Of course. But also now, you know, we have those signs on the sidewalks that
say
tell
no peeing?
Well, they should say no peeing, but they tell you where the closest restroom is, closest
good.
Public restroom. You know, I don't know if this guy was coherent enough to be able to follow the signs.
But and along those lines, I get that it's hard to find a public restroom in downtown Minneapolis, but I also understand why. what private sector wants to put out a restroom?
I understand.
That can be destroyed, you know? I mean, going to Target someday, you know, and you go, whoa, what is this, you know?
I get it. This is not at all what I had planned to discuss.
I know. I'm sorry.
I mean, I love hearing you rant. I really do.
But I'm serious. You leave there, and it takes that long, single lane, and you're just stuck, and you can't see. And then you know what happens? These idiots come pulling out. They turn into your lane, and then they expect you to let them in.
Of course.
We're already in a traffic jam. Why am I going to let you in?
You can go, like, one car gets to go per late.
Yeah, one car per late. That's what it felt like. Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
Well, we're glad you're here, Mike. You took just a nice big ha breath.
Yeah.
Okay, a little yoga. Now let's talk about this. Should Google Maps have speed trap locations posted? Well, you know, I don't know if you ever used Waze. Waze was a great navigation.
We got
Google
Waze as part
Waze.
Of WCCO Radio. Yeah,
that's right. And I believe Google bought them, and now we have a part of them on our traffic maps.
Yep.
And they everybody loved Waze because they told you where all the speed traps were.
Yep.
Well, now Google Maps has a speed trap location feature. And the cops don't like it very much. But apparently Mike Max does.
Well,
why?
Two reasons.
Okay.
Number one is, I want to see these guys earn their money.
You mean the cops?
Yeah. I'll give you Eden Prairie as an example. Where do you remember the if you took your – I don't know which ways you would go, so it's hard for me to tell. But there was this one road, and there's houses on the right, and on the left is Highway 212.
Okay.
Or vice versa.
Yes, I know exactly
okay,
where that
so
is.
You feel like you're in a 45-mile-an-hour zone because – and the houses got fences in front of them, so they're far removed from you on the highway. Mm-hmm. And it's like a 30-mile-an-hour
zone. I used to live close to there.
Yeah. One day I'm taking the kids to school. Cop stops me. Mm-hmm. Pulls me over, and the kids say, "This is the same place Mom got stopped last week."
Oh, my gosh, really?
So I knew I didn't have to worry about
you. You weren't in trouble. But you were going, what, 50?
Yeah, I don't know, 45. And the guy was nice stuff. I mean, I think he understood. Mm-hmm. But there's all those, in the suburbs especially, there's places where there are 35-mile-an-hour zones that feel like they should be 45.
That's right.
And they can set those anytime they want. They know they can nab as many people as they want.
When you come into downtown, the speed limit goes right down to 40.
Yep.
You come in from 394, you're doing 55.
Yep.
Or more, and then boom, it's 40. And there have been cops that wait to nab people.
Yeah.
So that's true. Okay. So you think that speed traps should be a good feature for Google Maps. But what about the fact that then people are going to be doing 90 and then just doing 60 when they see a speed trap?
I'm okay with that.
Well, David, how do you feel about this? Are you more rational?
Yes, I'm completely more rational because, look, the reason we have speed limits and the reason we have police that enforce those speed limits is for public safety. We are all safer. I'm safer. You're safer on the road if Mike Max stays at 55 miles an hour instead of going 70. And if Mike Max knows that he can go 90 until this little thing pops up on his Google Maps that shows him there's a speed trap, and then he goes 55 and then back up to 90, all of us are less safe.
You don't ever have to worry about that because the chances of me technically being able to figure out how to put Google Maps in this app in my phone are almost zero, okay? So don't worry about me.
I'm sorry I used a bad example. But
you know, there's a piece of video. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. And you talk about fate versus, and it has to do with what you're talking about here. You can probably look it up on the web. I saw it on one of the national news this morning. This guy comes flying through an intersection on a red light. Because he goes to a red light, somebody hits him. Right before he hits him, if he doesn't hit him, he's going to take out a family of three.
No.
Yep. He's running a red light, and he's going to run over a family of three. And because he's running a red light, the guy that's in the right, in the green, drills him.
Yep.
Knocks him off to the side. The family of three is literally, their lives are saved. And it's so clear on the videotape. You can probably look it up, but I don't know if we can put it on our, because I think this is just
graphic
cams. But you see this, and this guy he's gunning it through a red light.
Okay.
And I'll be darned, what a shock. He got a DUI, you know?
Well.
But he is literally 10 feet, 5 feet from taking out a family of three. And there is no chance that they're going to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And this guy, you know, boom, he gets hit because of that. So I am not in favor of people speeding and all that stuff.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
And in the world of reality, nobody's really driving 90 and then slowing down at 60 when they see it. I mean, David, I really don't think they are. I think they're just regular folks like me that may be driving, 65 or 70. But if it's a 55, I'm definitely going to take – if I know there's a speed trap coming up, I'm definitely going to be on my best behavior.
I mean, that could be true, and maybe 90 is an exaggeration. But if
– Well, Paul would drive 90.
Maybe, but – I was on a road trip last week, and I plot out my route for a four-hour trip, and I see, oh, here's the four speed traps in my 4 hours, and I could easily go way faster than that and just slow down for those speed traps. And that's, I mean, maybe on your commute it's not as likely, but when you're doing a long trip like that, it just seems so easy to abuse the system like that. And then the police are sitting there and everybody just slows down a mile before the speed trap.
I'm the kind, too, that doesn't believe the speed traps to be accurate. I believe that they'd have some helicopter that would catch me or something, and that, you know, there'd be some other way.
Oh, got it.
And that, you talk about this often, karma, right?
Mm-hmm. That's coming
I believe
us all,
in karma,
baby.
Right?
That's
so
true.
If I cheat you here,
amen.
I'm going to get it there. I don't know where, but mm-hmm. I do believe that.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, people would have the ability to report the crashes, so it's not just like it's plugged in. So I guess there is a chance that a speed trap would not be on Google Maps, and that it would, you know, it would pop up if the cops decided mm-hmm. that they were going to be there.
Yeah, and often when you're driving and you're navigating with Google Maps, it'll ask you, is the speed trap still here, yes or no, or is this
really?
Construction slowdown still here?
Right.
And you can punch it in. It says, if safe, answer this question. So you're giving feedback in real time.
But you're also texting while you drive then, too, right, kind of?
I think they get around it because you have one touch is the deal.
Okay.
Oh, is that it? Are you allowed to hold your phone?
No, you can't hold it, but when it's mounted on your dash, I believe the deal is you can touch once. And it says, you know, if it's safe, you can respond.
Or your co-pilot can navigate that.
Sure.
Yeah, there's more than one in the car. That makes sense. Yep.
I don't know. I mean, here's the deal. I always feel like when I get a speeding ticket, I feel like I've been cheated. It's like I was going 71, you know, in a 65. Or it's like, don't. You know, when I've gotten a speeding ticket, like, for example, I'll tell you this story. I've gotten two. I've gotten one in Eden Prairie and one in Edina. I've had more than two, trust me. But these are my two funny stories. The day my son was being born, they had to induce labor. And I was having contractions for a few days. And I was going to be induced. And I was with my mother. My husband was meeting me there from work. You know, we had a 9 a.m. appointment for my induction. And I was driving the car. And I got pulled over right around, like on Xerxes, right around the corner from France Avenue,
Xerxes,
where I was going to give birth at Fairview, Southdale. And I said to the cop, I said, look at me. I actually am in labor.
Yep.
I am going to give birth right now. I'll get my doctor on the phone. I will.
Yep.
And he looks at me, and I was huge pregnant. Like I could barely touch the wheel. He goes, I better write this ticket fast.
He didn't.
Oh, honey, that is no joke. I told that story on the air on TV. I'm telling you. That I was so, and even
my
mother.
I would take that one up with the sergeant.
Who's from New Jersey was appalled by that.
But she's from Jersey. She's seen everything.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, she was appalled by that. She's like, oh my God, he could have had a little grace. And he wrote me a ticket on the day that my son was born. I went in, I gave birth to that baby boy, and I had the ticket. I had to go pay the ticket. So that's the one story. And I felt like I really got screwed because it was like, you know, at 25, and I was probably doing 35. And I'm like, dude, I actually have a good reason.
Yep.
So I felt a little screwed on that. And the other one was in Eden Prairie. And I dropped my big kids at daycare, they went to like a preschool program at our synagogue. So I'm driving back from St. Louis Park at the synagogue, and the baby needed to eat. And I was late for the feeding. And if you've ever been around a nursing mom, the boobs get real big. I know I got boys in the room now, okay? You get real full with milk, like when you know it's time, but your baby needs to eat. There are expressions of that milk if you don't feed your baby fast enough.
You can't turn us off here.
A female cop pulled me over.
Yeah.
And she's looking in the back seat because she sees my car seats. I had no kids in the car because I was racing back to my infant. She looks at me and she's like, well, it's a good thing the kids aren't in the car. You know, I was doing 75, I'm sure, because I needed to get home. You know, I'm sure.
Sure.
And I said, ma'am, I'm near tears because it's painful. And I said, look at my shirt. I need to go and feed my infant right now. I know she's crying and I am in pain because I need to get home.
Sure.
She went back. She wrote me a ticket.
She really did.
And I called the chief of police. And he said, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, they get to do what they get to do, and they get to use their judgment. And I said, well, it was poor judgment. She should have helped me and followed me home.
One time I got a guy pulled me over because I swerved in a lane, which I did. And I just told the truth. This was the truth. I said I had a pastry on my right, and I said it fell onto the floor. And I reached over to grab it, and I showed him the plastic paper with the, you know, it had like chocolate, because it was a chocolate donut. Uh-huh. And I said, I reached over to grab it, and that's why I swerved. And he just shook his head and said, have a good day.
Thank you. That better be a true story.
That is an absolute true story. Come right from the Metrodome one night.
White male privilege right there, buddy. And me, nursing mom, giving birth and breast leaking. And
well,
I could not get a break.
Why didn't you say something like that? If you'd had a pastry. Now I carry one of those plastic things with me everywhere I go. with a little chocolate frosting on it. Works every time.
This is why I am in favor of these speed traps being listed on Google Maps for nursing moms and people, women in labor.
I'm with you. And people with pastries.
I love you, Mike Max. While Mike's here, we got to talk sports. Yeah. Obviously, big night tonight, but last night was super exciting with the Timberwolves.
Isn't that cool? They're in Brooklyn. Fun. Now, tell me quickly about Brooklyn, because mm-hmm. when I was there a couple weeks ago for the Twins, and I'm always riding the trains and the Ubers and the cabs, and I always see the exit for Brooklyn. I've never gone to Brooklyn.
Well, Brooklyn used to be very not exciting when I was growing up. Now it's super she. It's where all the millennials live, or the Gen
Zers. Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. It's the cool new place with all the vegan shops and, you know, oatmeal shops, because, like, oatmeal is a thing.
Yeah, healthy, right? Got to eat healthy.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's right. I'm going, why do I hear more about Brooklyn now?
Young families.
Obviously, the Nets put their arena in there. They wanted to move there if they didn't think they could, you know, it was a good place.
It used to be more affordable than New York City, but it's quickly getting up in price. But we're not talking about sports.
No.
Okay,
that's
what we're supposed to do.
Okay, I'm sorry. So the Wolves won a big game last night against Brooklyn.
Yeah, very exciting.
And it was really it was. I was driving back, as you know, from North Dakota, and listened to Alan Horton the whole way back. It was a really fun way first of all, he calls a really good game.
Oh, and the last call, we played it at the top of the show.
Yeah, and so listening to him is always fun to begin with. And he's not afraid to let you know if he's not happy with an official's call or with Timberwolves play. Which I think is important that he's not a homer. You know, he does let you know if they're not playing well. And so when this 18-point lead evaporated that they had, you know, he wasn't afraid to say, oh, you know, there's some things need to change here, you know. Then they get – but this Kyrie Irving is a great player. And sometimes only in the NBA do you see where a superstar steps up and just – because they can have the ball in their hands every time, it's different than other sports. Mm-hmm. Baseball, you only get to bat four times, right? Football, you're on the field only half the time. Right. In basketball, you can have the ball in your star's hands as much as you want. Mm-hmm. So that's what they did last night. First game with the Nets. So he's trying to win this thing for the Nets fans, right? Mm-hmm. Show that here's Kyrie's here and it's a new game. And he scores 50 points.
Wow.
And he's off the charts. He's making, now everybody else in his team sucked.
Yeah, right. And they can't be disappointed with that.
Yeah, they missed two free throws at the end. Otherwise, they would have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the game goes to overtime. And a couple quick takeaways. The Andrew Wiggins, who everybody wonders, you know, what his role is going to be, fairly so, they get him bringing the ball up the court. This is new. And they're going, my God, they're going to let him run his own play.
Mm-hmm.
This is new. And he converts twice. This is new.
21 points.
Yeah. And I was going, whoa, they are making some changes here. Jeff Teague, the point guard, sitting off the side. Then they put Josh Okogie in to guard Irving on the last possession. Which is, I never thought of Okogie as a defensive stopper, but maybe they've seen something that they say, hey, we could use this guy this way. They go, everybody in the arena knows Irving's going to shoot the ball.
Of course.
it's pretty cool.
As he should.
Yeah, in the NBA, you know, last possession, who gets the ball? Well, the guy scored 50 points, you know, unless he doesn't want the ball. So he comes down and he tries to cross over Okogie, and Okogie doesn't do anything wrong, but Irving kind of slips and gets off a bad shot. And the game is over, and you're kind of going,
it worked.
Did that happen?
It worked.
Yeah. And when you're listening on the radio, you know, it's pretty cool because, you
worked.
Know, Irving, move, here's his shot. You go, it's going in.
Yeah, of course.
For a nanosecond. And then it's off. And you go, really? And then you go, no fouls? You sure? You sure there's no fouls, Alan?
So it worked. I mean, it sounded like there was a lot of strategic events happening behind the
scenes.
There were
strategic events.
That we don't know as fans, or even you don't know as somebody who's covering it.
And I didn't know that they would employ that kind of a game plan at the end of a game. I didn't think that was ever part of what they were trying to get done with it. Because they've got a new regime and a new culture. I never thought that was going to be part of it. We knew some things they were going to do, but I didn't think that those things would be part of it. Now they play Charlotte tomorrow night, and Charlotte made like 23 threes last night. So that should be kind of interesting. But it was a fun, exciting, what more can you ask for kind of game, you know?
Pre-game here tomorrow night at 5:30. And we have a minute, and you're going to come back. We'll talk more sports with Mikey at 4:20. But talk about the Vikes game tonight.
So they got in town, the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, protests. Right,
I walked up, before I drove here in that traffic jam, I walked out the door at CCO TV, and the guy says, Mike, what's going on? And I look, it's Kevin Stefanski, the offensive coordinator for the Vikings, getting his he shouldn't be too worried tonight. We'll talk more about it at 4 o'clock. We didn't have much to worry about.
And Jordana.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.